we had asked the building to set us up in the U shape that we've found, I think, a little more conducive to talking with one another, but that didn't happen. So we'll just struggle through this format. I know Mr. Muhammad just indicated that he had a conflict and had to make another important meeting this morning. I don't think that we have heard from Director Radulovich as to whether he's on his way or not, but we've been trying to keep these meetings to 2 hours and conclude by noon, and we have members of the public who've been patiently waiting for us to get started, so appreciate your patience this morning as we wait for the full committee to assemble. Put together an agenda to try to help us get through our work today. We have in front of you a copy of the comments that were largely the ones that were recorded on the by the meeting recorder on the flip chart at our public meeting on May 15th, now 2 weeks ago, where we heard a lot of input, a lot of commentary, and a number of questions. We purposely did not spend a lot of time at that meeting describing the draft that we had put together or trying to fill in some of the blanks of our thinking, but rather with the initial discussions of how we had gotten to the point of this draft. But I think that if there was a theme, I think that's captured in these comments and that many of us in talking after the meeting have heard, it was looking for greater definition and teeth was a term that was frequently heard about the for the Citizens Advisory Board function. So that's something I hope we can spend some time on today. Just to get us started in terms of the draft auditor model with Citizen Advisory Board, how did we get here and what were the objectives? As I have heard our deliberations to date, I think we started with sort of a what's the size of the universe we're dealing with here at BART, with a real focus, to quote Reverend Buford, of not taking a one-size-fits-all, but creating a gumbo, I think, was your description on the 15th, of looking at the models that existed both here in the Bay Area and around the country to see what made the most sense for the unique situations of the BART Police Department and the communities we serve. And I think where we started was, given our size, given the number of complaints that we typically deal with, that there was consensus among this group that an auditor model was a good place to start, but a recognition that we needed very much to have a citizen component to that model. And that among our objectives were to provide some greater visibility, some greater transparency, and more regular communication around the activities of our police department, but not solely looking at investigations or being reactive. We spent a lot of time about wanting this body to have a prospective and prospective perspective as well. So with that, I don't dare summarize for this entire group all of the thoughts, but if that can sort of take us back to where we started in putting together the draft, I would just suggest that we try to spend our time today looking at what revisions do we want to make to the draft that we're working with, that either coming from the comments we've heard from the public or further reflection and study that we've done on the topic. And I would ask Don if you would help manage that conversation for us today, so that I'm not sitting here doing all the talking.
Can I ask a question here? First of all, who's we that put together the draft? Who specifically worked on that?
This committee.
And the entire committee was convened and worked on it together.
Twice.
We did.
Can I mention something?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for opening the meeting. I just want to say, on May 15th, when we had that meeting, I walked away with two very distinct ideas of what the public was demanding from us. And what the demand was is that we look at our citizen-civilian piece of this and actually give the citizens, the civilians, some real authority over our police department, that we make that happen. In addition, we put together an appeals process. So rather than going back today and trying to reinvent the wheel and do all that, why don't we just focus on that citizens piece and figure out how to put some authority, some real authority behind the citizens and come up with some type of appeal process. Now that would be the way I'd want to have this meeting, because I don't see us spending a lot of days working on this.
If I may, and I talked to Director Sweet as well as some staff people, and I had some concerns, and I just vent my spleen on that so we can get on with the rest of what everybody needs to deal with. I had a problem with the public comments stated in the San Francisco Chronicle by your public relations man, I think his name is Linton Johnson, because in that article where he's quoted, and granted he didn't write the quote, he didn't write the article, but it seems to me that the problems that Minister Keith Muhammad and myself had were reflected in the comments that that Linton Johnson made. And specifically, I'm referring to the fact that there was only one sentence in that whole article which briefly described the fact that the citizens component would be created, whereas there were two columns devoted to the authority, scope of authority, lines of accountability of the auditor. And it seems like to me that your public relations people need to get up with what's happening in here, because you know, it wasn't an auditor, it wasn't a bureaucrat, it wasn't someone like that that called, that even brought all of this into being. It was the fact that people in the community have been raising the demand, and so for that to come out in the news media in that way, that there was only a sentence. It didn't even describe what the scope of the citizens component was. It was there for I don't know, filler, window dressing, or whatever. And so it just made myself and Minister Keith wonder if our role on this committee isn't like a filler or a window dressing to validate something that that really is just going to absolve people of really doing something that with integrity we've been discussing around this table, but then when it gets out into the public view, then some freeze-dried, abbreviated version of what the citizens have been talking about is putting forth. So I just wanted to register that unreadiness just from the outstart. And then even though we're talking about this, I just want to also say that I was troubled by the testimony two of the officers that were involved in this thing with Messerly, because here you have an officer saying that she's looking to shoot somebody. You have a person pointing a taser through a window. You have him pointing his laser on people, with the threat of being tased. And I'm just wondering why a personnel action can't be taken right now on those people who have, on sworn testimony last week, shown that they violated your procedures with respect to whatever taser policy that you already had in the training, as well as just bad police decorum and cussing and yelling at people to get off the BART. No wonder these young men responded in such a negative way, if that's the way they responded, to be cussed at. If somebody's going to tell me to get the F off the train or get my A off the train, I don't know if I'm getting off of anything, particularly not quickly, particularly when that's just unprofessional behavior. And I think that the longer that you wait for this internal audit, not the this thing, but for your internal investigation to go on, and then to reprimand those people, I think it's just a bad mistake. They're on record, sworn testimony, showing that they violated your policy, and just the straining the credulity of good common sense. And I think that just in the end of my sermon on that, I think that whoever needs to take action on those individuals who in sworn testimony showed that they violated their training, violated the police ethic of protecting the community and the community trust. They're not out there working for you. They're not working for the good chief back there. They're working for the public. And to be going around threatening with a taser, which won't even work going through a window, I think is absurd. And that's all I want to say about that.
Well, our focus here today is, of course, on trying to finish our work on the civilian citizen oversight. I think we need to stay focused there. I do want to, Reverend, just respond initially to your initial comments in terms of the press article coming out following the public meeting on the 15th. We did not issue a press release and put out a press story following the public meeting. As I can best understand, the reporter, the genesis of the reporter's story in the Chronicle, I've spoken with our press person about it. It appears that she, I believe it was by Rachel Gordon, was the
right,
writer.
Right, she apparently got it off the
that
web,
she went
website.
To, that she did not attend the meeting. To the best of my knowledge, the Chronicle didn't have a reporter covering the meeting. That she went to the website and constructed a story, and I think called Blenton for with one question and the one comment that I don't have it in front of me, so I don't know exactly what his quote was, but I wanted to assure you that that the story that ran in the Chronicle was not as a result. Oftentimes we will put out a press release, we will try to describe the issue or an event or the policy, and that was not the case, and left to her own devices. I don't think she came up with a story that accurately described what we as this committee had put together of a draft approach the commentary that we heard on the night of the 15th.
My only response to that is that even when we created the first draft of this thing, and you remember that I raised question about the amount of text that was used to describe the auditor's role, the amount of text compared to the limited amount of text compared to that describing the Citizens Advisory Committee role. And that concern was reflected in that article, and I don't think that I'm off base by raising that again now, because I don't want to see whatever we do here have it be some kind of condensed version of a major issue.
Well, why don't we turn to your comments and Director Sweet's suggestion and focus on what additional modifications we want to propose for the Citizen Advisory Board scope and responsibilities and authorities.
Point of information.
Thank you.
This committee was actually created, to my knowledge, on the 9th of January, or it was created early in January. And when it was created, in the press conference in which it was created, it was not solely charged with creating a civilian police review board. It was charged with direct review of the BART Police Department, which is why it's called the BART Police Department Review Committee and not the BART Police Department Committee to Make Civilian Review Board. So that charge, I'm somewhat worried that I don't think this committee has met thus far to do any of that.
Let me try to just clarify, if I may. And there was a committee announced by the board president on
January
8th, and then acted on January 12th. that had a broader scope than civilian oversight was one element, but there were other elements as well, including coming out of that committee's work has been the retention of the organization Noble to conduct a thorough review of the department policies, procedures, training, etc. Has been the decision to retain an outside independent entity to conduct the internal affairs investigation that would normally have been conducted by the police department internal affairs group, and the creation of then this committee was at one of the meetings of the police review committee in May. I forget exactly which one. Joel Keller proposed that a subcommittee of the police review committee be formed to focus on civilian oversight. Members of the public who were in attendance at that meeting suggested that we broaden it to include members of the public, and in fact made some specific recommendations, and Reverend Buford and Minister Muhammad have graciously given of their time to participate. And so this expanded group that you see here, with the exception of Minister Muhammad, who's not with us today, has met fourth meeting as a committee, and conducted and held one public meeting as well a meeting for the express purpose of taking public comment on this proposed draft. So that's how we've ended up here. And the police review committee of the BART Board of Directors does have a larger scope than that, just citizen oversight. And if I may, we have public comments scheduled at later on the agenda. So I'd like to ask if we can hold the public comments until we get to that part of the agenda, and the committee turn its attention to the issue that we've been discussing.
Can I ask that the meeting be chaired by a BART director? I mean, it seems to me that if it is a committee of the board, that it would be germane to have it chaired by a member of the board.
I have no problem with that, other than we have a long-standing BART board member sitting here, Mr. Radulovich, and you want to chair this committee? I nominate this one.
Tom, we were just, there have been a couple of comments from Director Sweet and Reverend Buford specifically of wanting to spend our time today, or the bulk of our time, focusing on the Citizen Advisory Board component of this draft, and trying to look at strengthening the scope and responsibilities.
We can move that word out of there, because, like you, I have a real problem with the fact that we created something that wasn't going to work, and it's not going to work in the minds of the public because it has no authority, and that's what needs to change. And I can't even go away from that point anymore, because what has been hammered home, and it's been hammered home over the last 2 weeks with the trial, and I'm sorry that I have to bring this into it, but we have a situation now where the public is not very happy with BART, specifically the BART Police Department, and this perception that we have gone beyond the call of duty to make it look as if an unarmed man deserved to be killed. We have come across as looking like a police force that's afraid of the public. I don't even know what all the testimony was, because I was not there, but what I do know is what's come out in the press, and it's not made me very proud to hear these things being said. So after going to the May 15th meeting and listening to what's happened thus far in this preliminary hearing, what this director has walked away with is that the public is actually right. We've got to have something that makes them feel as if they have some control over their lives, because BART police seem to want to go out and take their lives. So I got a problem with that. And I'm sorry that I'm saying that with you guys sitting here, but I really feel that I have a hard time listening to the testimony that's come out of this trial thus far from your colleagues on the BART Police Department, in the BART Police Department, I have a hard time trying to justify to the constituents that I have to deal with that our police force acted appropriately, and when the videos don't show that. Now, I wish they did, because I'd love to stand behind you, but from what I was able to see and from what I've heard, nothing meshes well together. The public has to have a piece in this, because we don't seem to be taking enough responsibility for what is going on in our police department, and we have to. And having said that, I will just shut up and say that my focus today is only going to be on how to strengthen the citizen board, not citizen advisory board, but citizen board that we need to put together.
Why don't we take a step back, I think. And just talk about what we want to get done here today. I just have to say that this whole process has been a little strange for me. I think we started down one path with the June 2nd meeting. You know, we walked into here on the Monday, and then there was some other idea about how we were going to have a conversation with the community about civilian review. And then that took the form of this committee and a model being presented to the public on May 15th, which actually didn't take into account really what people had said in my mind on May 2nd. So what do I do here today? I mean, what do we want to walk out of here with? And I'd like to hear people's thoughts on, how do we, there's a lot of moving parts here, and I understand Director Keller's motivation, which is it's nice to have a definite proposal to react to, because you can get lost in the weeds. But sort of, are we committed to a process that's pretty inclusive, and in putting these questions before members of the public, so they can really have a debate about different aspects of this, and how do we get it done? How much time do we want to take, and so on. So maybe just everyone talk a little bit, if you want to, about what you hope to get done at this meeting and how you see this process of creating a civilian review body for BART moving forward. What would you like to see?
I think we've already done that in the last four meetings. I think we're spinning our wheels now. Let's just go. Let's go.
A comment I'd like to make, and let me preface it by saying I think it's important that we be very mindful of the importance of the rollout of what we're trying to do here, how it's presented to the public, how we set it forward. It did concern me a bit when I heard, I think Dorothy mentioned that somebody made a comment and they were kind of left to their own devices to make that comment. I think it's important that we move forward with one voice, at least from the committee. We can hear what committee members have to say, but then at the end of the day, when we make a decision, there should be a message that's going out that's a consistent message and doesn't confuse the public. So that's my first point. Second point, I don't care who chairs the meeting, but I do think it is important that we move forward in answer to Mr. Radulovich. I would say what I want to walk away from this meeting with is having gone through some of these comments that were made by the folks at the meeting on the 15th, and then also have decided and come up with some recommendations to strengthen the existing proposal that we have. And I'm prepared to offer a couple of ideas that I think will strengthen it. And so I would suggest that we maybe have some comment about these comments that are on here, and I've got a couple of them, and then move through this in some fashion. And then that we talk a little bit how to strengthen what we have, and then hear from the public.
I had a comment. When this committee, this subcommittee was set up, and I'm going to say this because there may be a few people in here who weren't around when it was set up, but when it was proposed to set up a draft, capital letters, bold print, draft, just as a starting point. Not absolute. And when we got to the meeting in Oakland over, on 8th Street, the facilitator, Joe, said it again. And he made it quite clear. this is merely a draft. But somehow it was interpreted, and the comments afterwards, in the paper, it was interpreted as a final. Like, this is what we're committed to. It was just a beginning. It's just a beginning. So if we understand that, then we can build some trust, and we can develop something that we can then speak it with one voice.
Director Sweet, I really didn't want to have to do this.
That's okay.
But with all due respect, I know unfortunately you guys touched upon the trial. At least your comments went into that arena. Mm-hmm. I've worked for this organization for 20 years. It's changed in the last 5 months right before my eyes. It's just changing. Just sitting in this process is changing. And on that note, I mean, just me sitting here along with Jesse, we've gone from an apartment with no oversight, and I've sat here and give wholeheartedly my support to evolving to a process to where both him and I have. I look at this as leaps and bounds to putting our approval at least on. Reggie, I appreciate your comments. This is a draft, and I've never considered this more than just a draft. So I echo that. This does not say final on it. But we've gone big leaps and bounds from nothing as far as civilian involvement in the police department, like the other models in the Bay Area, to actually somebody like in Don's position, investigating cases, and in this draft model, and then that person reports to the board. I mean, to me, that's a leaps and bounds in a civilian process, coming into the police department. So, and then going back to your comments, I wish that hadn't come up about, the trial, comments being heard and now coming into this arena. I regrettably understand how they are, but I don't like that they're, and I hope that they don't, if more come out, because I personally, I would rather sit back and wait until the whole thing happens, if it's this week or next week. Please don't prejudge everything in that courtroom, which I'm not sitting in. I can't even wait to make up your mind. Please let that take place there, hopefully, and not let it influence too much what we've been trying to work here.
But it can't, Greg, it can't. And I just need to say this because what's happening and what's happened in the last 5 months and why you see the BART Police Department, actually BART as a whole, changing right in front of your eyes, is that the world is watching what we're doing.
And it's right there.
So for me, I agree with you. It is leaps and bounds to come up with some form of oversight for our police department, and ideally this would have been a great start, but then we get hit by the community saying we don't have enough. Then the preliminary hearing starts, and I'm thinking, okay, it doesn't have enough teeth. How do we fix it? And then to hear the police officers, and again, I'm not there in the courtroom either. I can only go by what the media tells me. But to have my colleagues outside of BART, to have my constituents outside of BART come back to me yelling about, what are your police doing? Why are they saying these things? It doesn't play out right. I'd love to say let's wait until the end, but it's happening right now.
And I can see how your constituents believe you say that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And when I said earlier, this place has changed before my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
This process is a very good thing for this organization. It's going to be a very good thing.
I hope so.
And I believe that wholeheartedly. It's going to be very good for this organization. And so I would go actually on Don's comments too, that I would like to hit the comments and see how they...
And we'll get to Don so
we
can get us in
back
the right...
To,
anyway,
we're coming back.
So I heard a suggestion from Don that we actually, I think, move to item 2, which is let's review the comments from the May 15th meeting, with the goal, Don, of really seeing where this model that's been put forward varies the most, maybe, from what we heard from the public, and maybe coming up with a list of issues that we should discuss in terms of the unless there's one or okay. Is that where everyone wants to go?
So can I establish maybe we can establish a common framework and groundwork here? I hear two things being said. Number one, we take the existing proposal and we look at ways to strengthen it, build it, fortify it. Number two, everything's a draft. Maybe we don't want to go in that. I just like to know where the committee is on that. In terms of whether we proceed with this to try to build it up and strengthen it, is what I suggest, or that we go back to the start and talk about what we want to do in terms of it.
I go for strengthening what we have already done.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to confirm
that. No, we put a lot of time and effort into
it. I agree. Is that where we are as a committee?
I don't know that we really need to reinvent anything. I think we already have something here. It just needs some modifications and some addition. And I think that if we could take the spirit, the substance, and the spirit of the public comments that were made at the May 15th meeting, then we have something to go on. And I think that really this whole meeting, or the whole process, really is about strengthening the citizens' component. And if I may, just a little bit, I understand that the trial comments are irrelevant to this process here. But man, I was asked by people from the community to be here, so I got to be their voice on this situation. And so I would lack integrity if I didn't go ahead and say what I have to say. And I think that this is grist for the mill for those of you, because there is not a process for doing what I'm talking about. This is something you need to put in your meat grinder. I know this is how sausage is made, but this is what you need to do to figure out, okay, well, how do we rectify the situation so that you're not wasting the time of community members or people are thinking that their time is being valued and not being sloughed off as some kind of a symbolic public relations stunt. The other thing is that I think that if the principle of what brought this about, that is the principle of the citizens being concerned about these processes, if that could be elevated, I don't think there'll be any problem in identifying the seven or eight items. I mean, some of these items are kind of, that even the public came out with, frankly, are irrelevant to what we need to be dealing with here, but they're legitimate comments nonetheless. But if we could identify the seven or eight things that are really relevant to what we're doing here and strengthen the citizens' part, that is the case. But just once again, it's very difficult to participate in something like this and then have the comments being coming out and unsworn testimony. And then you begin to wonder, and this is why I raised that whole question when people were salivating over the San Francisco model. I did consulting with the San Francisco Office of Citizens Complaints and Review 8-9 years ago, which led to some changes around how they were being perceived by the public and by the board that they were dealing with. But the fact is, a lot of their complaints didn't even, they had over two or 3,000 complaints, and none of them were out of policy. So you had 3,000 complaints, and then they had the column where it says, was this within policy? Then everything is within policy. There's something wrong with that picture. That means that there's a policy that either promotes the creation of a situation that's going to create a complaint, or there's a policy that doesn't respect complaints. So it becomes within policy. And I'm hoping that we don't do that kind of a sleight of hand here in terms of a shell game of creating a policy that the grievances can come up, and then we say, oh, well, that's within policy because it didn't cover that. So if we can just, I agree with what has been said, if we can focus on the citizens, I'm saying that bad word, citizens oversight of this, we could go further.
So I guess the question was asked, is this something that, we can revise, or do we need to start with a blank sheet of paper?
I think we just need to revise it. I mean, with all due respect to Mr. Radulovich, I was concerned about your comments even opening up that meeting, the last public meeting, because you threw the whole committee process under the bus by saying that you weren't happy with what we had come up with. In point of fact, you had missed several of those meetings. And if you had been in those meetings, perhaps you would have had the consensus. But that set a tone for the public to shoot holes in a document. You created an unreadiness just by making that public comment and you being nominally a part of the committee. But what the public didn't know is that you had not attended those meetings.
I mean, I did attend the public meeting on May 2nd.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm talking about these meetings.
I just thought everyone here was listening to what the public said.
No, I'm talking about this meeting right here.
I understand that.
That you had missed these meetings, and then you come to that public meeting, and it's almost like you were posturing, even against your own colleagues on the committee who had been a part of these meetings.
Yeah, that's a rhetorical question.
And I agree. I agree. It was disrespectful. I felt disrespected.
I'd like to ask, what would we like in strengthening the citizen portion of this process? What would we like that to look like?
Okay.
And then we can move out of this and forward.
That's a Don one with that.
Okay. Reverend Buford, Ball, Payne, Tamara, I think we need to move forward with the existing proposal that we have. I think we need to hear the relevant comments that were made on the sheet by folks in the community. I think we need to get about the business of strengthening what we have. And there's a way we can strengthen this. And I think that if we strengthen it sufficiently, we'll have more community support. We're never going to have 100% community support. There's always going to be somebody that's going to shoot at what we come up with as this committee. What we have to do is put our heads together and figure out how to strengthen this. And I think we need to move forward. I mean, we spent an hour here and we talked, but we need to move forward on this.
So what would it look like?
Let's go.
Well, what it would look like, and I'm just going to start with this.
Yeah.
We have given a lot of thought to what our investigator would look like. We have given a lot of thought to what his powers would be. We haven't done that with the Citizens Board. So how do we mesh those two? How do we make an investigator and the Citizen Board really a one component? Meaning, it's totally independent. That's
right.
We've given it that independence.
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Here's my response. Here's my quick response to that. I think we should take the auditor. A big concern is about involvement in discipline. Is that correct?
Correct.
I think the auditor, we should consider having the auditor make disciplinary recommendations to the police chief and to the general manager. Okay, number one. Number two, we should also consider having the Citizens Advisory Board evaluate on a regular basis the performance of the auditor. And that should be in a written format so that there is some accountability of the auditor to that civilian and Citizens Advisory Board. Number three, the Citizens Advisory Board should have the purview of policy recommendations. Start initiating policy. If the auditor has a policy recommendation, you run that through the Citizens Advisory Board for their approval. And I think that gives us some additional.
Not strong enough. The investigator and the citizen board, when I say meshing together, what I'm talking about is having the auditor and the board jointly making these recommendations to the auditor. Does the investigation, he brings his findings back to his citizens board with whatever recommendations he wants to bring to the general manager and to the police chief. They have to concur. They have to have a hand in what's happening. What I'm finding or what I'm hearing is that the public really wants to have a hand on it. They want to have a hand in it. Why not just step that up at the outset? And it's still our auditor, our investigator who does all of the legwork. But instead of immediately coming to the chief or the general manager, he is going back to the citizens board with his findings, with his recommendation, and then he's looking for their concurrence before he takes it any further.
Are you proposing then that the investigative authority be with the auditor? Once that investigation is complete, the investigation is five people who can either accept.
See, I'm taking advisory out of it.
Is that what you're?
I'm taking advisory.
Okay, the citizens board. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, are you suggesting that if the auditor did the investigation, take the results of that investigation to the citizens board, and that the board then determines whether or not that finding is appropriate, the investigation is thorough?
I'm looking for concurrence, because the way we have it set up now, we are looking for that person to come back to either the board of directors, the chief of police, or the general manager, without going through the citizens' end of it first. That citizens' piece needs to be right out in front. They need to be able to have some say in it as well.
What I hear you suggesting, if I can just respond, is that we also incorporate into this auditor and then advisory board, called citizen board, and also a police review board function, where you have an investigation that's done and it's submitted to the board, right, to either accept, reject, to order additional investigation. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Could be. I mean,
well, you're talking about adding a third element, which is possible.
So
you'd have a combination of a police review board, auditor, and then the remnants of that citizen's advisory board.
Just to let you know, you lost me there.
Yeah.
No, I'm only looking for two pieces. But I'm just looking for two pieces. The investigator auditor, citizen's board. He goes to board before he comes back to the bar world.
You know, let me take a step back here and hopefully try and capture at least the issues we're talking about here. We're going to solutions, which is great. But, you know, what I heard at both meetings was an empowered citizens board, so not advisory, but empowered, actually. They have some roles. So I think the questions for us, if that's what we all heard and that's where we want to go, towards an empowered board, one question for us is the role of this board in discipline. So, and we already started talking about that. Another is the role of this board in hiring or supervision of the auditor, which you spoke to. The role of this board in making policy, which you spoke to. The relationship of this board to the BART board, which no one spoke to yet, but hopefully we'll get to. And then the appointment of the board. You know, where did this board come from? And, you know, how many and so on. So those were issues with the board. Is that the sort of maybe universe of
that's the four questions that we're asking you to do?
Okay.
We had previously in the draft said that the board would be appointed by the board of directors and would report directly to the board of directors. So I think I don't know if that's up for discussion.
It's in there.
But there's a sort of how of that. Does each of us appoint one, or do we all appoint all, and are there terms, and can people be removed? And so that there's those questions. So
those mechanics can be worked out after
I think there's a general idea.
Yeah, but I've been patient enough.
Well, hold on. And then other questions that I heard come up were the openness of the process. You know, is there anything, how much latitude do we have in terms of making the entirety of police review open? There was a question of who handles complaints. Then there was also the question of who's the chief working for. So those were other issues I got. So I just want to, since Marcia's taking notes, just wanted to throw those out there. But I do want to get back to this board, because I think that, and I'm going to sort of ask for nods or show hands, but I think the chief difference we're talking about between the model that the community was asking us for and the model we have here is the role of the board. I don't see a lot of difference in terms of the role of the investigator. Am I missing something?
Yeah, I think we've all said that, though.
Okay.
That's what we're looking for.
So
I'm going to jump in now.
So let's jump back in.
If I don't look like I'm going to be totally ignoring
you. No.
And I'm being a little frustrated about it, because I think what Lynette is saying, we can simply say is that the investigator has to present policy and findings to the board. And then I want to use this phrase, simple majority is the decision on that, and then that is presented to the board of directors for its final. And if it's done like that, then I think you would get the citizen seeing that the board has the empowerment, but you would also have in it the protection of the officers who think, now you got a group of citizens who may not know law enforcement deciding about us, but we have our board of our directors here who makes decisions on all of BART's action. Now, if the board of directors does not want to do that, then we have to find up another process. But that way of doing it, we have to keep this in mind, that the people you select for that board will have to be very talented, venerated people. And there may be some cost to that, but that's another issue. Just want to put that out there. And remember, we're talking about, on average, 12 to 20 cases a year.
I'd like to suggest that we, and I think we started to, this is, have, is you've talked a lot, there are others, there's been a lot of talk about the prospective roles and forward-looking roles of this process, as well as the reactive and event investigatory. And I'd like to have suggest that we have this discussion about the board's role around investigation and discipline and around policy, because I think they could be quite different. I've expressed my concern previously about putting to the board, the BART Board of Directors, administrative responsibilities with one group of employees and not others. And I think that's something we ought to think about. So I think there could be different issues depending on what activities the citizen board is dealing with. It could raise different issues for the BART Board of Directors.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I was going to ask for that clarification. Also, because one is a personnel matter, the other is a matter of policy, they need to be handled differently. So
this is a unique situation.
Right. But I think policy maybe is the easier one. So I kind of heard a recommendation that matters of policy, recommendations of policy created by the auditor, the professional staff working for this board. And then those would go to the board for discussion, adoption, and forwarding to the BART board. Is there consensus on that?
I'd ask the question, do you want them to be forwarded to the BART board?
Some may need to be.
Okay.
They could make the judgment. I mean, certain things about budgeting, about certain, you know.
Budgeting I wouldn't think would be policy.
I think there are certain things that the BART board would need to do in order to, you know, enact policies. Other things can be done simply by the chief or by the general manager. So the question is, you know, who can take the action? But are we sort of, in terms of a process around policy, professional staff make recommendations, they're discussed, adopted, and then forwarded to the appropriate people within BART, chief, general manager, or board for
I would just add to that the board could also initiate areas of policy review or recommendation that they shouldn't have to be just responsive to something coming from the police auditor.
Okay.
If there was something that they were seeing out of the trends or their review of activities, that they could initiate and direct the auditor.
All right. So certainly things could come from the auditor or from presumably the Civilian Review Board. They could raise issues.
Or from the chief.
Or from the public, or Police Officers Association, or Police Managers Association. If there's something people want to see reviewed, do we all agree that there should be a way for all the stakeholders to kind of nominate issues for review, for policy?
And the department itself.
Yeah, and the department itself. Okay.
I think that the citizens' component should be the final authority in terms of what is recommended policy to the police department, the general manager, and ultimately the board.
Okay.
So I think any policy recommendation, whether it's generated from the public,
mm-hmm.
certainly one of these community meetings that the board will be involved in, whether it's generated by investigations from the auditor, whether board members, community citizens board members initiate it, it all winds up, the policy recommendation comes from the citizens group. That's their purview.
Okay.
I do think that those recommendations for policy, to the extent possible, don't have to wind up at the board of directors level. Some, as you just said, some will, but most won't, in my opinion. But in terms of policy, I think we should be able to put that one to rest to say that this citizens group is the ultimate authority in terms of what policy recommendations are for.
And obviously they'll have suggestions for policy review coming in from a lot of directions. So would you think the auditor or the citizens board should say, all right, we've had 15 suggestions, we have limited resources, we're going to take up these five?
Let the board have
the board. Okay.
The citizens board.
Is that a good role for the board in terms of the, you know, putting together the list of things to be investigated and then ultimately adopting?
I'm just going
to
say this. Okay. How you just phrased it, I'm perfectly okay with it.
Okay.
That they're basically the final
the policy part.
Okay.
Like all policy
right. Just on policy.
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Go whether chief GM, board of directors, but there's a final clearinghouse of policy recommendations.
That would, I think, take care of any citizens who have concerns about policy. It would also take care of the auditor. There'd be a review of the auditor's recommendations for policy. Okay. And I think that coming from that group, that gives it more authority right there. That's one way to do it.
Okay.
That's the low-hanging fruit.
All right. So policy, the easy
one. The high-hanging fruit is the discipline. And that's what we heard over and over with the citizen group. And that's where we ought to spend the majority of our time trying to figure that one out. That is the tough one. And my recommendation is that that if you don't want, say in reverse, if you don't want a citizen group to have final say-so over the disciplinary actions of your police officers, you ought to have another one hire to appeal it. The only one I can think of is the board, because you guys are elected. It's the only one. Now, I'm going to be totally frank with you. If I was a police officer and I was under this situation, I would have some concerns about having a citizen group having the final say about my discipline. And that's just honest. And I think you'll find throughout California the police lobby concerned about that. Not that it hasn't happened in other places. It has happened in Los Angeles. It has happened in San Francisco. And those things do exist. This may be one of the third place. But I'm just putting that out there. But if you set it up where a compromise where that the citizens group makes a decision on the disciplinary action, but the officer can have an appeal, maybe we can get some cooperation there.
But shouldn't it be a two-way appeal process anyway?
Yeah.
So
always
that's one of those things that can't
always
be. I was thinking that this on a little bit different part of that, but I know that there's a concern, and it's a legitimate concern that this is a whatever is going to happen is in essence a personnel matter, and the investigation itself would be a personnel matter. So then you have this thing of, on the one hand, the auditor is going to have the authority to see the intricacies of the name, the names, and the various things about the person's personnel record and so on that this committee would not necessarily have be privy to. And I was just wondering if part of the part of this auditor citizen function would be maybe the auditor could present a redacted version of the issue without the personnel specifications. That is, what is the actual person's name and et cetera, those things that you're concerned about, so that we know that it's a we know that something had happened, we know when it happened, we know how it happened, but just because I'm not feeling that we're going to be doing anything that's going to run counter to these brothers here issue over the personnel that they're trying to represent. But it seems like to me that citizens group choice of word, what's a good choice? They're going to be handcuffed if they don't have all of the details without the specific details of the person's name.
Okay. Why should they be handcuffed? Why can't they know the name?
I'm just wondering about if that is what the personnel issue is, and that's the specific person.
If they're the right people and they're sworn to to respect the personnel rights of everyone. They're part of BART. They will ultimately be employees, I'm assuming, you're setting this up to be, that they would have to be have that same kind of confidentiality about divulging the information. And it would be closed session anyway. The public can't be invited.
Don, can I ask, how does that work in Richmond?
Well, let me just say this. Well, these citizen board members are not necessarily going to be employees of BART. I would think that your auditor would be, the staff would be, but not necessarily the citizens of board members. Now, I made a comment earlier, and I think you said it was not clear. I think what we're starting to do now is cross the line from a auditor-monitor with an advisory component, and maybe advisories bother some people, to a police review board.
Yes.
Okay? I think we're crossing the line. I'm going to give you my personal opinion. You do with it what you will. I think that discipline should be something that is the purview or recommendation made by the auditor. When we talk about discipline, we talk about certain time constraints whereby the process has to be completed, discipline has to be meted out. And you start involving not only the auditor doing the investigation, but then taking it to a group of citizens and having them banter back and forth about whether or not it's a redacted report or not. I think you cross the line, you get in a police review board issue. I think we need to be concerned about having a sustainable course, a sustainable office that the police, and it is important that the citizens have confidence in this, and it is important that the police have confidence in this. And so we're trying to satisfy or deal with many constituencies. And so I would say policy matters, citizens board, discipline, and disciplinary recommendations, the purview of the auditor. Now, the auditor can meet with the citizens board and brief them on complaints received, but I don't think it's in the best interest of the process to involve that whole board in disciplinary stuff. Let me tell you what I've observed. Confidentiality is very important. It's easier to control confidentiality if those files, those reports, all that confidential stuff, and it is protected by state law. It's no joke. Okay? If that's held in the purview of the auditor, I think you have a better chance of maintaining the confidentiality. All it takes is one issue of breach of confidentiality, and you're going to have a whole. You're talking about having damage to repair now. That's what you have. So that's my spiel.
Okay. So let's go. Just to go back and clarify.
I want to clarify with him what he just said.
Okay.
And that is my idea of having the auditor go back to the review board before coming to the bar board. That's okay as long as it's the auditor's recommendation that is taken to that review board. And not necessarily having them being able to change it, but just that he is reporting to them before he comes to this board. So it still doesn't change what his recommendation would be. It just offers them an opportunity to understand it and know about it before it comes to the bar board. And if they don't like it, it's not as if they can come back and change it, but they can certainly have the opportunity to come to the bar board and tell us what they don't like about it.
I would envision that the bar board would not be involved in this thing, and I'm talking about the bar board of directors, on matters of policy in most cases. Because I think if the policy recommendation, say the auditor has an investigation, reveals a deficient policy, takes that to the Citizens Advisory Board, the board chews that up. I think if it's done right and you have the right people, the recommendations that come out of there are going to be so solid that either the police chief, if the chief doesn't go with it, the general manager is going to go along with it. Let me finish my point.
Okay.
My point is, I don't think the board of directors is going to be involved in this thing on a routine basis.
And that's where I disagree with you, because one of the things that we decided when we set this up was to have the board of directors appoint and have the auditor directly report to the bar board. Well,
okay,
that means we're right in the middle.
Oh, hold on a sec. What I'd like to do, first of all, kind of clarify. Well, because one issue is confidentiality, right? And so as it. If you're talking about individual officers, then confidentiality needs to be observed, and that's a requirement of state law. But the other thing that I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, whether that's the BART board, whether that's the auditor itself, or the Civilian Review Committee, not to say that any of those are advisable, but simply any of those bodies could take up a personnel matter, they would simply need to observe all the rules of confidentiality under state law. So, you know, we're in a situation where we can say, yes, the board of directors should have a role, the civilian review board should have a role, the auditor should have a role, or none of them should have a role. It's just that process would need to be confidential. So presumably at one of these meetings, whether it's a meeting of the board of directors or the review board, if there was a discussion of personnel matters, they would need to go into closed session, et cetera, et cetera. Just as we do when we do the review of, you know, because there's actually four board-appointed officers. So we already have a role in personnel matters, and we do their reviews and have those privileged discussions, which is allowed under the Brown Act because they're personnel matters. So that is allowed. So we're going to the question then of, is it advisable? And Reggie, I appreciate that you always go for like the tough issues.
Yeah.
But one thing I was thinking about as you were talking was, well, you know, there's sort of that, you know, we're talking about the end game, as it were, in a disciplinary process. So presumably there's some review of discipline and there's some difference between, say, what the department has recommended and what the either the auditor or the civilian review board has recommended. I wanted also folks to think about is you know, how would this go, right? Let's talk about a disciplinary process and what it looks like. How would we get to that, you know, before you get to the end game, what's happening, right? So, because as I see it, there's a few different options in that. You know, one is the San Francisco model, which has been talked about, which is the auditor, the professional staff not only investigate, it is they who make the disciplinary recommendations. Another model would be the department makes a disciplinary recommendation, and that is reviewed, along with the independent investigation by the auditor, and then perhaps even by the review board. So there's that question too, which I don't really have any clarity around. There's different ways to do that. So I'd sort of ask you all to think about that. And maybe if we sort of build up this process from, you know, complaint comes in, what starts happening, and think about where it goes, you know, I think we'll get to the point of disagreement, and I think you're right. You know, at some point there's a fork in the road, and you're onto a police review commission, which I think is okay. And you're away from an auditor model, but you know, up till we get to that fork, what does that investigative process look like? What does the disciplinary process look like? How different is it from what happens now?
So I would think that if in disciplinary action, if an officer comes above a disciplinary action and it's one of the three things or four things we talked about, mm-hmm. hate crimes, mm-hmm. racial profiling, etc., officer abuse of authority, that the auditor does the investigation and comes with a recommendation that he presents or she presents to the board. And I wouldn't think of an 18-person board. I'm talking about 3-5-person board, and they present to them, and they have to be venerated, they have to be credentialed, talented folks that want to do this job. They make a decision with the auditor. The auditor then presents that to the chief for disciplinary action, and then the chief ought to take that action. And if there's an appeal process, then the appeal could be to the general manager or to the board of directors. But if we take it to the general manager, then the general manager has to listen to the case again from both sides. Now, I believe the citizens will see in that those three persons or five people who are at a simple majority making a decision about the officer's behavior, that there is citizen participation in that. And there's citizen participation around discipline. What, if you look at these comments, is what they were most concerned about. And that's what I heard. Now, I think it can be done, but you just have to have that appeal process.
So, just to recap. So you're talking about the scope in the instances that we've named here, right? The excessive force, hate crimes, racial profiling, and allegations. So if there's an incident there, the investigation, presumably there's an IA investigation, right? We're talking about keeping IA in the
model.
The auditor does the investigation. Okay, so there's no parallel IA investigation. There's an auditor investigation. When that's completed, there's a report and a recommendation for discipline that then goes to the chief?
No. Goes to the citizen board.
No, I just want to understand Reggie's thing, and then we can do the variation.
The citizen board then makes a decision.
Okay.
They can accept the recommendation of the auditor.
Okay.
Or not.
All right.
And if or and make their own recommendation, whatever. And then that goes to the chief, who's the head of the disciplinary officer of that department. If there's a repeat, if he says no, then they appeal to the general manager.
Okay.
We're talking about a separate thing here. Now the word appeal has come up. We were talking about discipline and the role of the advisory group, the citizens group in discipline. I think that we need to generate some specific discussion time in the appeals process, because I think there's some very specific concerns that we need to make sure we understand about the appeals process.
I agree.
It should be a separate discussion.
Okay. So it just, Reggie had laid something out, and I want you to make sure I understood it, just in terms of the way it goes. So if it's one of the specified areas, or I don't know what you call them, crimes, I guess, are specific types of misconduct, the investigation then is done by the auditor. They make a recommendation, they
present
do a report,
recommendation.
Make a recommendation to the civilian review board. Civilian review board then reviews, affirms, perhaps amends the recommendation. The recommendation then goes to the police chief.
Who says up or down.
And the police chief says, yes, I will do this, or no, I'll do something different. And then you're saying that there should be an appeal process if there's a
tug of war between the chief of police and the board on what the appropriate discipline should be,
right.
It has to go to a deciding person.
Okay.
And if we say no to the board, and I can understand that, the board of directors, then it ought to go to the general managers. General manager ought to make that call.
So then if the board, the civilian board, is dissatisfied with what the chief does in terms of discipline, then there should be an appeal process whereby it goes to the GM, and then the GM says,
fine,
yay, nay, and then it's done.
Just a clarifying question. So if the auditor does an investigation, presents their report, do they make a recommendation of discipline to the Citizen Advisory Board? And what if the auditor and the Citizen Advisory Board don't agree?
I think if there's any disagreement, it moves its way up. First stop is the chief of police. It's his department or her department. She says, look, I think the auditor is right. And says, this is the proper discipline. Or no, I disagree. And if that citizen board still feels strongly about it, they have one more appeal to the general manager. General manager says, up or down, and that's the final appeal.
So
it's not perfect. But we are making movements.
So
but I think it becomes more murky. I think it becomes more murky.
Got my agreement down
the
here.
The farther you go down that road, the more murky it becomes. Now, my personal opinion, I think that the auditor should have the authority to do the investigation and not bring something to the board, a recommendation to the citizens board for their approval or disapproval, but bring it to them and let them know what's going on. And that's what I think. But I don't think that the citizens board should have the authority to vote up or down on disciplinary matters based on information brought to them by the auditor.
So I'm kind of hearing so Don, let's just flesh that one out.
Right.
So then you're with Reggie as far as, so there's misconduct in these specified areas. The investigation then is done by the auditor. There's a recommendation to the chief by the auditor for discipline. The civilian review board is updated, basically they're briefed, but they're not asked to affirm, confirm, change, amend before it goes to the chief, right?
That's correct. Okay. What you're saying is no specified category, those categories that you mentioned. The auditor has the authority to investigate and to make disciplinary recommendations. However, the auditor does take that to the board and briefs the board on what's going on with those cases, but it's not an up or down, yes or no, vote by the board.
And again, we're talking discipline, not policy.
Discipline, right. Okay. That's where we are.
So then in this, so then that recommendation goes to the chief. The chief says yes, no, some variation. Is there an appeal process, say the auditor's recommendation is very different from the chief's? What happens then?
The auditor makes the recommendation to the chief. Uh-huh. The chief accepts the recommendation, it happens. The chief does not accept the recommendation, I would think it would go bump up to the general manager.
Okay.
And I would think that at that level, in terms of discipline, we'll have to have some discussion about whether it goes up from the GM. I would suggest that it stop with the GM.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I've heard in both of these proposals
it stops with
the GM.
Yes, given in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Okay. Right. Nothing we have said is different.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
One element. I said the citizens have the up or down on the decision. Let's hear from the other folks.
I'm sorry. I'm just, what I'm doing here is just, there's a few different processes, and we can line them up, and it's A, B, C, and D, and we can do as many variations as we want, but at some point, maybe we'll have consensus on this one. So, Reverend Buford, can I start, Jesse?
Okay, after me, I hope that you call on these two guys, too, because they had some stuff I'm sure they wanted to say. I wanted to go back to something Mr. Radulovich said, and just as a point of clarification, because we're talking about the auditor's role in investigation. And at one point, about 6 minutes ago, as you were kind of summing up what I think Mr. Lyles was saying, you posited an either-or proposition that the auditor would be doing an investigation in cooperation, in conjunction with whatever the citizens group would be doing to review that. But what you said was is that this would be instead of, or in lieu of, it sounded like, an internal affairs investigation. And so I guess I need clarity on, are you saying that the auditor's investigation would negate or trump or replace an internal affairs investigation, or could somehow those two processes, which are separate and distinct processes, go forth, and then whatever goes forth from that, of course, the board would have to have some kind of final say over. I just need clarification on that.
I guess I had assumed that there would be both an internal affairs investigation and a parallel investigation by the police auditor. I think what I heard from both of you is that for certain types of misconduct, as specified here, the investigation will be exclusively by the independent auditor. No. Is that right?
No. I think all investigations are the purview of the auditor.
Okay. All investigations.
Yes.
And I agree with that.
And let me throw this piece out also. I think that the police chief should have the authority to conduct internal investigations in anything that's going on, any citizen's complaint. Now, the other part of that is that the auditor should have the authority to monitor and audit all internal affairs investigations.
That's
what
we have.
Yeah. Right. No problem.
We're not getting one.
All right. So,
but the auditor looks at certain types of crimes, excessive force, hate crimes. That was the distinction, that the auditor would always look at those.
So the auditor will always look at those, but there can be an independent investigation by
discretion to
internal affairs at the discretion of the chief, presumably the department. Is that what I'm hearing? And this is for all complaints, or just for
those
for the specific, the types of misconduct specified?
Let me be clear on what you're saying here.
Okay. Just we've specified certain types of misconduct.
Right.
This is the investigatory universe of this. Now, there's other types of misconduct, say, stealing evidence.
Stole something.
Right.
Lesser misconduct.
Right.
That's the chief's job.
That's the chief's job exclusively. Can monitor. Okay.
No. B-boy in our draft.
Okay.
B-boy in our draft gives the auditor that authority to review all investigations. All.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clearly said in
okay. So that's within the purview of the
yes.
Okay.
Right.
So
that's right.
Is that...
We're okay with it.
We're all right. Okay.
I'm curious as to how the union folks feel about all this stuff.
Go first, Robert.
Mm-hmm. I'll go first. I'll be very upfront and honest as far as discipline goes, the Officers Association would not agree to any type of a format that would allow citizens to have some sort of say in the discipline officers. I'm very firm. We'll never agree to that.
Other than the auditor.
Other than the auditor. He can recommend.
Correct.
As far as
I like, once again, I won't restate it again, I like Don's
model. Okay. So, just to clarify, you're all right with the idea that the auditor would recommend discipline to the chief. There'd be the investigation, recommend discipline to the chief for certain for these types of misconduct, or actually for other types of misconduct, you know, at the discretion of the auditor. But specifically with these things, and then that would go to that recommendation would go to the chief. The chief would meet out the discipline.
It goes directly to the general manager.
Right, and so you're okay with the appeal to the general manager. So basically, Don's thing, as he's laid it out in its entirety, you're both comfortable with. The Reggie variant on this, just and you know, I'm not gonna.
No, that's good.
Yeah. The Reggie variant on this, you are not. The step of having the civilian review folks involved is not. That's not anything that you favor.
Okay. I think we got to have.
But Jesse, would you have a problem with if the citizens didn't have any say in the discipline, but were allowed to review what it was the auditor?
I believe that you gave the power to the auditor to where he's going to meet once a month.
No. But
what cases are?
No, and that's in there. Yeah. But it just says meet with him once a month. It doesn't say what he's going to go over. What report. We're looking for? No, I know what it says. It says report back to the committee once a month. I get that. But what I'm saying is specifically outline it so that report talks about the discipline end of it.
Number
so that they are... Dorothy, let me just finish, please.
Sorry, I think it's in there. Excuse
but
me.
All I want to do is make sure that they have a handle in, or at least the presumption of a handle in, what's going on. Because from what we got at the May 15th meeting, they didn't like the fact that everything would be done by an investigator and... We were creating the citizen model that had no real meaning other than they would meet. I want to have folks on the ground not recommending the discipline, not doing the investigation, but at least knowing full well what was going to be happening before it happened, or knowing what these recommendations were going to be before they went to either general manager or the police chief. Those folks need to... What's the purpose? Because at that point, if they're having a discussion with the investigator as he's making his recommendations to them, that would be the optimum time for them to. Well, but it gives them a chance to at least voice what it is they want, and
it's not about what's fair.
Well, and it would be fair if they were there. Hearing what the recommendation was, if our auditor is making a recommendation, and he's going to make that same recommendation to the police chief anyway, what would be the problem with having the citizens board hearing about it first and at least weighing in on it? They're not making the recommendation, but they can have a discussion about it.
Then what's to say that the officers association weigh in on as well? Where does it stop?
The Officers Association is not part of the Citizens Board. I mean, you can weigh in on anything you want. You know that.
Yeah, but what we're trying to do is come up with a fair process.
Yeah.
I think it is fair.
It totally destroys the auditor model is about.
I think it is fair. You do have existing models where citizens say, this is the appropriate discipline. That exists in the in California right now. And if it goes to the chief, and the chief says, I hear what you're saying, but I say this, that's the check and balance. And if somebody doesn't agree to that, then you can appeal it up higher to the general manager. But to imply that it's unfair if citizens have a comment on officer disciplinary action, that's not true, because it exists already in places in California.
Do you know where Reggie?
Yeah, Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Yes, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Yes, San Jose. So I'll put a line through that. You give me stipulate to Los Angeles, San Francisco.
Is that open?
Okay. So I don't know. I don't think Oakland has that process. What I'm suggesting is that I believe the protection and about what is right and what is fair according to. You know, AB 33, Government Code 3300, I think the protection there is with whoever's the chief and the general manager. So if you present what I'm suggesting, I think you can make the case to the general public that citizens do have a strong position on disciplinary action. They don't have the final position, because the final position can go all the way to the general manager.
Well, can I just ask one question? I'm sorry.
Yes.
We're talking about the auditor and what the auditor's responsibilities are, and the auditor is supposed to be reporting to the Citizen Advisory Board on all details that are allowed to be public. What if the citizen board had, if they're dissatisfied with what they're hearing coming from the auditor, can't they make recommendations to the board, or can't they, in their reports to the board, talk about the fact that they don't feel that the auditor is doing an adequate job? I mean, if we're going to hire an auditor to do a job, then we need to let the auditor do the job. And if the citizen board is unhappy with the auditor's job, they should have a role in taking that to the board who has control over the auditor.
Or does it? You're raising another good issue, which is the role of who does the auditor work for?
I
was hearing at the public meeting some people saying, well, if you have a citizen review board, they should have some role in the hiring and review and supervision of their professional staff. So
the model Don articulated at the start of the meeting was the auditor.
Yeah. Which
Don's right. model or suggestion was auditor investigates, recommends discipline to the chief of police. Thumb up or thumb down, if it's down, the appeal goes to the general manager.
Right.
Were you saying, is it correct or did I get it right? Are you saying that you want or would like the civilian component to at least be advised what the recommendation is, and not be a part of it, but at least be told. Okay. I
want to make sure that they have a hand in it.
They're
not going to be making the recommendation.
I've been waiting to ask this question. Is it just the recommendation fist versus a hand in it?
Hand in it and mind in it, and let me just make sure I get this out. Hand in it means they know what the chief of police is going to do before he hears. They have, at that point, an opportunity, and chances are it's going to be whatever our investigator says anyway, but at least they know what's
so
going to
the chief's going to be told this, and they hear it before.
And I think you need the auditor's professional opinion. But you need the group's collective opinion. Those opinions might be at variance with one another. They might have consensus, but I don't think that any committee is just going to hear some guy make a statement and then they're just going to rubber stamp it before then it goes to the chief or to the director, and then you appeal it after that. I think that the hand that I'm hearing is that the people need to at least be informed, and then if there is a difference of opinion or if there's maybe an additional viewpoint that perhaps the auditor hasn't dealt with, then at least you have the collective opinion of the people who have been constituted to deal with this, the professional opinion of that auditor, and then whatever process that has to go through, then has to go through that based on the input from the group and from that individual professional.
I see, by putting that piece in there, we've strengthened the citizens.
Can I just sort of jump in here and say, I think maybe we got three variants here, three options. One is, and I think this was articulated by you, Jesse, which is that, so discipline done by the auditor or recommended by the auditor to the chief. There's an appeal process if there's a disagreement between chief and auditor. The civilian review board is not informed on individual cases, individual disciplinary cases. They don't have a role. I think there's maybe a middle piece, which is same thing. Recommendation for discipline goes from auditor to chief, but the review board is briefed, perhaps given the opportunity to ask questions, discuss with, and of course this will all have to happen in a closed session, with the auditor before a recommendation is made, or even maybe before there's an appeal. So they could have an advisory role. They can be the sounding board for the auditor. Third model is that they have a role that, kind of going back to or parallel to what we talked about for policy, that they give it a thumbs up, thumbs down. They say to the auditor, we like your recommendation, we want to change your recommendation, or we don't support your recommendation. So they actually have a role in this.
So you're saying in the middle one, Tom, I'm with you. The middle one, they wouldn't have a role in saying, auditor, we don't like the recommendation you just gave us. So we can discuss it right now, and it could change.
Yes, in matters of discipline, they could discuss review, but they could not change the auditor's
recommendation.
The auditor might decide to change his recommendation after talking to this board.
No, you know what? I think that's totally inappropriate because you put it right in here. Mm-hmm. The auditor shall at all times be totally independent. Mm-hmm. All investigation findings, recommendations, or requests made by the auditor shall only reflect the views of that office, not the board.
Comment would be this. I think that the auditor is the sole person when it comes to investigation and recommendation.
Correct.
I do think that you build more strength into your advisor, your citizens component, and as I said, we started this thing, and you give them the authority to evaluate the performance of the auditor. Whoever's going to be your auditor, well, God bless them, because they're going to have to please a whole lot of people, including the community, the board of supervisors, the citizens board, the police unions. Okay, but if you build into this process that the citizens group can monitor the auditor basically and report on the auditor's performance and report that to the board of directors, I would think that would be a powerful incentive for the auditor to make sure that he's working with that advisory board, that they understand what's going on and how the recommendations are formulated.
I guess the question that I have is, and I want the board to have some role in supervising the auditor, but I think in matters of discipline, it doesn't feel like an empowered board if they know nothing about the outcomes of these cases, what was recommended and whether the police chief actually did do or didn't do, how many went to appeal, the outcome of the appeals, right? We've said that we want the civilian review, we want information, we want monitoring, we want reporting at the end of the year, and we want some transparency around that. So, one option there would be, okay, well, no individual cases are discussed, but they're simply report at the end of the year saying, I made the following recommendations, and they were either supported or not supported by the chief X percent of the time, right, without names. Another option or variant would be they actually do know the outcomes of individual cases and can discuss them with the auditor monitor without, and that could be an issue. That could be in their role of review. Well, we like the decisions you're making, we don't like the decisions you're making, et cetera. So that would help inform them in terms of employee review around discipline. Certainly matters of policy, it's really much easier. We made 13 recommendations of policy, they were enacted or not. But I think the discipline thing is a harder one. And there's a few options here. So,
again, this is draft.
Yeah,
heard
exactly.
Everybody say that. It's not final, but on item 2F on the Citizen Advisory Board, and we talk about a monthly meeting with the auditor to receive reports on the number of cases filed, number of open cases, disposition, and any action taken on cases, number of cases being appealed, and then the trends and analysis and recommendations. So I think...
Right. Well,
at least that option is articulated here.
But what Jesse's saying is they can't know about or have a role in any real individual cases, right? This is just really compiling statistics. This isn't we're discussing individual cases.
No, the number of cases appealed gives them a big red flag.
The disposition and action taken on
individual cases.
Individual cases.
Yeah.
So then they could discuss those cases with the auditor, right? Individual cases. Is that?
That's how I read.
So it's
already guess what I wanted here to say. Yeah. They must. The they auditor must.
They
must.
Shall.
Shall.
Yeah.
Ready. If we are going in this direction, it seems like, to me, can we have a vote on it? Like, we all vote on this? So that we all, if we're going to what Don recommended, then we can, if we all agree to that, because the next time we have a public meeting and people stand up and say blah, 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 we ought to stand by what we agreed to. And that, and that's my recommendation. If sure. This is what we're going to do.
So we want to do a straw poll of where we're at?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, I'd like anyone to first else? Move on changing 1K. And take out, use the very first sentence in that sentence, the auditor shall at all times be totally independent. Because we would be lying in this thing if the request made by the auditor shall only reflect the reviews of that office, especially if we're looking at an appeals process. We're looking at an appeals process, the general manager, the chief of police, and I even want to put out there the board of directors might have.
I disagree. So the board should stay out of disciplinary matters.
Well, the auditor shall at all times be totally independent. The board of directors for BART, in this humble director's opinion, has to have the final say on anything that goes on here at BART. So to leave them out, let's say we run into an issue, Jesse, where the appeals process has stopped at the top with Dorothy Duggar, and we still haven't gotten any kind of anything that they're looking for, and it goes outside of BART, and it's now a legal process with attorneys. That then falls right on the shoulders of the board of directors. So we can't just unilaterally say we're going to create the situation where the BART board of directors is going to be out of the picture 100%. So this last sentence in item K does not really fit anymore.
You would agree, Regis, that K, that is a bullet under the position of the auditor. That's
yes.
That's how I read it. So it's applying to the auditor. What you're referring to is the appeals process and after it gets out of the auditor's hands.
This is going to be our Bible going forward if
right.
we put this in place.
Well,
so I don't want to have anything in here that could be totally misconstrued by anybody in the legal profession. We do want the auditor at all times to be independent. We also want him to bring his findings and his recommendations back. But the recommendations and requests made by the auditor shall only reflect the views of that office really sends the wrong message to whatever citizen's body we put forward. And it also would not honestly define the role of the police chief, the general manager, and in some cases, the board of directors.
But I think there's different.
Can we have a poll? Can we vote on whether or not the members of this committee A, support removing K from there?
I don't want us to remove K.
All right. Well,
or even modify it. I think it needs to stand as written.
Correct.
And I would like to see where the committee stands.
Well, hold on. I think we've already modified K in matters of policy. They've said that they are not independent. Well, first of all, let me say there's different ways to read independent. You could say independent of the general manager and of the police department, right? Independent within the BART bureaucracy, not necessarily independent of the Civilian Review Committee, right? So there's independent from whom is one question. And I read it a different way. I read that it was independent of the police force, as you know, is actually the practice in all of these things, and independent of the rest of the BART apparatus that is an independent agency, not necessarily independent of the Civilian Review Committee. Now, there's different readings of that. I think we've already changed it in matters of policy. We've said that in matters of policy, well, their recommendations are not do not only reflect the reviews of that office, they reviewed and actually affirmed, and the court of last opinion is the Civilian Review Body. So we'll need to change. I thought we'd already agreed to that on policy, so that's already changed.
So then
we're to the matter of discipline. And I think that, like I said earlier, I think there's three options there. You know, one is, you know, yes, going with this, they are the auditor in matters of discipline is completely independent. And the disciplinary actions reflect only their views. The other option is they actually can meet, confer, discuss with the Civilian Review Board, but they can still make whatever recommendation they want but there's a process of review and discussion. Third option is actually the Civilian Review Board has a role in discipline. So there's kind of an A, B, and C there. And that's sort of where I want to get some clarity around. And maybe, is that the straw poll? Is that the question?
That could be a straw poll. That would be a way to start.
Okay.
But it sounds to me like, yeah, we just need to come to some agreement on this.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie suggested poll.
I think we ought to say, okay, I don't speak for Don, but Don staked out a position about how this thing should go. Mm-hmm. And I staked out a position about how it should go. Mm-hmm. And it seems like my position is losing.
Well,
and that's all right.
You haven't heard from
anybody. Well, I think we need to hear from everybody. So we'll know where
too.
We are.
Right.
So we'll know where we are.
Okay.
And because what happens is, invariably, we make a decision here, and then we get, and somebody criticizes it, like Don said, throws a rock at it, then everybody folds. And I don't think we ought to fold. I think if we settle on a good process, the process will work. If everybody agrees with it. And we have the right people in the right place.
Before we take a poll, can we hear from the public? Because I'm sure they have some opinions on what.
I'm just in time.
And Tom, just very briefly on your comment about independence, and we've already changed it with regard to policy recommendations. I would just encourage that. I think whatever document we're going to end up with will work as a whole. We're refining the authorities and responsibilities of an auditor, the authorities and responsibilities of the civilian advisory board, or whatever we ultimately decide to call it. So with regard, if the civilian board has a final approval on policy recommendations of a recommendation brought by the auditor, I would just argue I don't think that makes the auditor's response findings or expectations any less independent. That's what he's bringing the product. I think what we're trying to say is we're expecting the work of that office to be independent. And if the work of that office is ultimately decided by the advisory board or the BART board or anybody else, there's still an expectation of independence. So I think we're going to need to read this in its entirety, where if the duties of the board have an approval role over the auditor, that doesn't, I would argue, doesn't mean the auditor's work shouldn't still be have an expectation of independence and bringing it forward. So, don't want to delay the public.
I think we're on item 3 on our agenda, just to check in on where we're at. What I wanted to do, you know, we've had a good conversation here, and I think on this question of the role in the discipline system, there's about to be a straw poll, but I did want to open it up for members of the public to comment on what we've discussed so far and say that there will be other opportunities to comment. But if you have any thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. So I saw Christoph, and then I'm talking right here.
David.
Okay, Christoph.
All right, so first of all, I want to respond to what Donald said about trying to satisfy different constituencies. I think that's actually wrong. It's dead wrong. There is one constituency you're trying to satisfy, and that's the public. This is a public agency. BART's a public agency. It's our public agency. The police, their boss is not the police chief. It's us. It's the public. They work for us. Everybody involved works for us. We are the constituency you need to be worried about. And this is a compromise, clearly designed to satisfy constituencies that you're not supposed to serve. That's why it's off the mark. And you're going to go back to the public meeting and people are not going to be happy. And you need to realize that what's happened in the interim since the last public meeting is going to make people even more upset. This trial is producing information that we didn't have access to before. BART had access to it. The general manager and the police chief had access to it, but we didn't. We now know, we have testimony from Mariam Domenici, who was on the stand, who said she would not do anything differently if this had happened again. And we have the police chief who's on record with the general manager at a press conference saying all the officers there responded to the incident, followed protocol, and they performed their duties in a professional manner. We now see that video. We see what they actually did. We see how they behaved. We have their testimony. We know. So we have people who are still employed on this police force. We have a police chief who's still employed, a general manager who's still employed, who all have said that this is okay, that this is the way things should be. that they wouldn't do anything differently. So, I mean, it completely clashes with the whole purpose of this committee, which is to make sure that this wouldn't happen again. Because if you believe that you can't do anything differently, if you believe everybody did everything they were supposed to do, if you're going to say that publicly, you're going to have officers on the stand saying that when this video is being shown to the public, right? Then it doesn't convey the message that Bart believes that this death was unnecessary, that it was preventable. Either it was preventable or it wasn't. If it was, how would we have prevented it? We have a police chief who tells us, I don't know. We have the officers on the scene that say, I don't know. Nobody seems to know. And that's the bigger question is that you're facing here is, does Bart need a police department? And what makes you think you can run a police department when your current officers say things are fine? Current officers who are on the stand now, Tony Peroni and Mariam Dominici, wouldn't do anything differently. Police chief. Everyone followed protocol. No discipline, nothing. And you're creating you're bantering about this. These little things about, this is going to, when is this going to get Mariam Dominici off of the police force? When is this going to get Tony Peroni off of the police force? I mean, the onus is on you right now. Your answer to the question, does Bart need a police force, is yes, it needs a police force. If that's the case, then how are you going to make it responsible so that this doesn't happen again? How are you going to prevent these deaths, which we agree are preventable? You won't say publicly are preventable, but we agree are preventable. And this is leaps and bounds beyond, you know, the Bart police are very willing to have an independent auditor. The scope of change that's necessary is so much bigger than that. That's laughable. That may be leaps and bounds for Bart, but it's nowhere near the end goal. When you're trying to please a public here, the public has the power and will eventually and can force police review that we want down your throat. We can get rid of the police department through Sacramento. And I'm saying that's going to be easy. But what you've heard and what we want is a restructuring. We do not want the police chief to be under the oversight of the general manager. That's a problem. And if you can't fix that, then I mean, you can look at what it might be necessary for BART directors to oversee the police. Maybe BART directors need to have their salaries increased so they can have the time to actually oversee the police department. But if you can't do that, if you can't restructure BART, and you want to keep the same people in power, then fundamentally you're not making any changes, because the buck is stopping with the same people who said that everything that's happened so far is by the book. So I think you have to be open to restructuring, which it's clear that this committee has not discussed. And if you want to talk about police review, what powers are you giving to the civilians? Everything here is talked about restricting the information that's available to them. Who do we have the power to hire and fire? We don't have the power to hire and fire the auditor. We don't have the power to hire and fire the police. What do we have the power to do any differently than we've done so far, which is complain about what happened and point out all the ways that it flies in the face of justice? And we keep coming back with the same things. We keep coming back with the same things, and we get from you, we get proposals that say, oh, you have the right to information and to voice your opinion. Well, thank you very much, but that isn't enough. And the responsibility isn't ours, it's yours. It's your responsibility to fix the police department. They are your police department, nominally. They belong to BART. Why do we have them? Why do we really have them? And if they are this bad, and this is coming out, and it's going to continue to come out in this trial for the next year, you can wait. But if they are this bad, why should we keep them? AC Transit does not have a police department. Why does BART need a police department? So if you're not willing to make these big, drastic steps here, I mean, the public said what it wanted. They've said it wanted it said it wanted a police review commission like San Francisco, and you come back with a different model.
That's why I was hoping we could get some comment on this. But thank you, first off. David, and then, oh, sorry, I forgot
your name. Okay. I want to make a procedural point first, and that's just that when you guys sent a letter to the Bay Area Assembly members, you said that there was going to be a series of public meetings. By my count, the way I see it, there was two public meetings, May 2nd and May 15th. I don't count this as a public meeting. This is really difficult for a lot of people to come to during business hours. The Oakland Public Safety Committee, which is a subcommittee of the City Council, meets in the evenings. The Civilian Police Review Board meets in the evenings. All of these meetings should be held in the evening. As far as the matter at hand, I really like what I've heard from Reginald Lyles and Lynette Sweet. I think they're on target. They're on a path that taking steps that could satisfy the community and feel like there's more accountability. What Donald and the police unions have said to me is completely unacceptable. Sort of to what Christoph was saying, it's more or less the status quo. I mean, I hear Jesse saying that the public should have no role. When you look at this model here, and if you're going to say that the public has no right to know about any individual officers, has no right to make any recommendations, then basically this Citizens Advisory Board is nothing. That's the same place the general public is in. That's the same position we're in. And there are police bill of rights protections. Fine, that's the way it is. So what you do is you have closed sessions. I think hierarchical, the way it should work is I don't think it should be called an auditor. It should be an investigator. The investigator works for the Citizens Review Board. The Citizens Review Board, that's where, it's not 100%. Maybe they do make a recommendation to the police chief. But then if it's appealed, and the Citizens Review Board is a well-trained staff. It's not, just some, jokers coming in, whatever, throwing paint on people or something. They're professional. But then if there's an appeal, then the appeal, I believe, actually should skip Dorothy Duggar and go to the board. You guys are the ones that are elected by the public, and you're publicly accountable. If all of this just comes to Gee and to Dorothy Duggar, that's the exact same place that we're in now. And we know that that doesn't work, and that's not public accountability. What Reginald Lyles and Lynette Sweet have said is the way to go. We need a true police oversight. That can be, just like the Citizens Police Review Board in Oakland does. When they get down to the behavior of specific officers, they have a closed session. The public is asked to leave the meeting at that point. And it's a closed session, and everybody respects the officers' privacies and all the stipulations of the Police Bill of Rights. If the Citizens Advisory Board just takes reports, that's pointless. These same reports are going to make it to the public. It's nothing. It's meaningless.
First, I'm going to say I don't know what Director Sweet or Reginald Lyles said, but I'm going to concur with my compadres in the movement, because we're all on the same page. But if I would say anything about these BART board meetings thus far, I would have to, if it was a check, I would put void on it, not cashable. Because for one thing, I think that some do not have the true knowledge of what's going on. So if that's the case, how can you, if you don't know the truth about what happened on that platform and that night, if you don't have the full truth about it, how can you determine how to go forward? And the public has been deceived in a bad way by BART, because there was information. I've been in the courtroom all but one day, and that's because we had to go to Sacramento. But to be in the courtroom and to have all this information revealed, and have the prosecutor, the officers get on the witness stand, and he brings out the report that they made, and then it doesn't add up with the actual facts. I mean, for the community to sit there and experience that, I think that if you're really sincere that you would allow the ones who know, give the BART board members the truth, give the people on the community who set to try to help put this together, Reverend Buford, Donald, and Minister Keith, who you asked to help and they said help, but then all along you know that you have, you're not given the truth. There's a deception in that. And until truth is in this BART boardroom, this, what you're doing is really, is non void, because the truth is not here. And you can't move forward with falsehood or illusions or your own personal thoughts, because truth is, prevails all the time. So you may put something together, it won't have any substance to it, because you do not know. And I think that until this BART board, everyone, not just the director and the police chief, until everyone really knows what happened that night, you can't put a police review board together for the community, because you won't have the truth about it. And that's just my feel and opinion on it. And Brother Keith, I think he shared with Ms. Sweet, that the community has been deceived. And that being the case, I'm sure that some of these BART board members have been deceived. Otherwise, we would see some progress that's real.
So you're asking for this process to stop until the trial is done?
No, I did not say that, because it can continue. I'm asking that the director and the police chief and whoever else tell the board the truth. You don't have to stop the, well, you just don't want to tell the truth and stop the process till they get the information, or do you want to be honest with them and let them know they have been in a predicament since this started, and it is so unfair that you would put your colleagues on the chopping block like that, and they've all tried. You know, you have Minister Keith and Reverend Buford come here to try to help, and you persuade them that you're sincere, and then you get in the courtroom and hear all the truths of the matters that's coming out. It's very painful. The community is very hurt. So that's the position BART is in with the community. So how you want to proceed from there, I don't know, but I'm just telling you what's happening in the community right now.
I guess something really quick. Mm-hmm. Just something that'll be
quick.
Can we just go to let everyone speak once?
Members of the committee, as you know, I attend as many of these meetings as possible. I do want to credit everybody, because I think this is as real of a conversation that this committee has had regarding the nature of the oversight model that's being discussed, that up all the way up until this point. And I think that we've actually brought out the real issues. And I think one of the concerns that I certainly would share, based on all the feedback that not only I've heard at the meetings, but in addition to that, that our office has received, and they really stem around independence. And I think that I have a feeling right now, and certainly I've studied as many of the models as possible to be as well-versed about all the different possibilities. If you went back right now and held a community meeting and said that discipline still goes back to the police chief and the general manager, you would have the same level of dissatisfaction that you had at the May 15th about the independence. So I think that we're certainly replacing, it seems right now, the current IA model that we have in existence with simply the GM and the police chief. It's still, we're referring back independent civilian oversight back to an internal BART process, which I don't think was the call for anybody's interest in this beginning and in the first place. So I think just to note that, whether or not, and I think that we're getting to a point where there's real concerns from your constituents, from your officers, but this is where the rubber really has to meet the road as far as making sure that you can go back to the community with a straight face and say, this is independent civilian oversight. Not that we leave discipline to the police chief, to then the GM. There's no more public process. It's sort of an internal decision that's made. And I think the feedback from the May 2nd meeting, when you heard the investigator from the SFOCC say, right, he's disappointed himself in all of the years he's been on the OCC at the level of discipline that actually is meted out, right? And so if we go to a process where it kind of just goes into the internal BART process and no one can sort of track what happened to it, I think we can navigate the role of the civilian board, whether, you know, as far as the effects of the discipline. But I think we went from the May 2nd meeting, which was we want strong oversight. We heard it again May 15th, we want strong oversight. The Contra Costa Times came out, and now granted, that's not necessarily the most liberal newspaper, let's be honest. And they said, we can do more. We need stronger oversight.
We certainly put out a model there for with AB 312. There was certainly resistance to that, but I think now that we get to here, we're really hinging on some very key points about how do we move forward, because it sounds like I'm not sure how much has been processed from May 15th. If we put forward back again a model where it just kind of refers back to itself again, I think we have to get out of that. BART has to, as an institution, to really make, to restore public trust.
That's right.
That's just my observation, having sat through as many meetings almost as some of you have on this committee. But I think it really does come up to a key point. What is the nature of independence and how you define what independence is? It's going to push on everyone's comfort zone. And I think right now, this meeting today seemed to be a very clear example that we're actually at that point now. Whether we decide that today or it rolls over to the next meeting, we are at people's comfort zones. But I think that the next time you present a model, my strong recommendation, so that we don't have to have the level of feedback or community resistance otherwise, is to make sure that you can explain to them how this is independent and how it's different from what we currently have. Because right now the proposal on the table doesn't feel different and doesn't sound necessarily different, even though there's great words in the model and it says independence and it says all that good stuff. It doesn't necessarily seem process-wise that if you explain that to the community, that's what it would look like.
I'm going to have this off for now, but there'll be other opportunities to speak. But what I wanted to do was kind of just recap where we are and go to the straw poll.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to speak as a member?
Just a couple of things.
Yeah.
I haven't attended as many meetings as you have, so I feel very comfortable hearing the process and focusing in on the citizen board itself. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's what I'm just kind of, because when I came in and I got the email and you presented to me, I just came in to hear about the citizens board. Mm-hmm. And what you were putting on the table. I think that what you have done is some good work. Okay? And yes, it does need to be strengthened and improved. I think the areas, and it is, I'm doing recap because there's a lot of discussion there, but I think some areas that need to be clarified is, one, what is the name of it? Is it going to be the citizen board? Because I don't think that that's been made clear yet. Okay? If it is, I think we need to make a decision on that. I think a selection process needs to be flushed out. Mm-hmm. How does the selection process need to be? It needs to be added into this so you have your procedures. I think commitment needs to be put in there. You guys are talking about that. But, you know, how long will a person who sits on this board be on that board? Okay? What is their commitment? What is their responsibilities? And you do have some. Mm-hmm. It appears as though you came out with a model before you came out with what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Okay? So now you have to kind of back into that and say, this is what we want to do, and this is the responsibility. And just like you would hire someone, you would hire them with a job description. And I think that you're flushing out that, and I think you're on target to it. And then look at those recommendations. I think in reference to the roles of, if it is the citizen board, the roles of the citizen board, I think that one of the key roles is that they should have the ability to review and make recommendations. Okay? Now, not change, and I think you brought a good point, that they can review it and make recommendations. And if they disagree with what the auditors put out, it is disagreement with the recommendation. Okay? So when the community hears that this is reviewed, they know that they are the voice there. And I think that's so important that it takes place. And what I perceive as the community board, as the role that you guys are functioning right now, the community board should be sitting up there and hearing this from the community and getting it back to you. And then I understand that you were appointed by the board, all of you are selected by the board to function in this capacity.
We were selected by a subcommittee.
Okay, and that's fine. No, yes. I'm not knocking anything like that. No. I just was
just to clarify.
I'm not knocking anything. Yeah. But when you talk
you're
about,
free to knock it.
Okay,
that's how
thank you. But when you talk about transparency, mm-hmm. okay, I think that we hear it, mm-hmm. okay, but is the community hearing it mm-hmm. exactly how you came about? And then since you did come about, I think for the benefit of the community and for the benefit of what you're trying to establish, I think you guys should be looking at a sunset. Mm-hmm. How long will you be in existence? Okay, how long? If you say that you're going to be finished by the end of the month, we got to work to the end of the month to accomplish this, and you guys need to go away. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you need to get back to what your tasks are in the community, a board that should have some empowerment. Should be functioning on your behalf, and you've done a good job. So I just wanted to mention those things, you know, just in closing this part of it out. And you got a daunting task, you really do. But I think we're going to get there, without a doubt.
Thank you. I've got to go. Can I say something very quickly?
Is it on this subject?
Yes. Okay. It's on the subject.
And, please, yeah. You know, I think a lot of us need to go. We want to do this draw poll. So,
well, a lot of you know. We try to make public comment where we can.
Yeah.
The issue is when you go back and there is another public meeting, which hopefully there will be, and you present this. I feel like a lot of the pushback is going to be on the issue of. On these other issues that are probably the purview of the committee that commissioned this committee. Mm-hmm. So perhaps those of you that are members of that committee can push that committee to take some action, because if we come back, people are like, well, is this the mechanism by which we ensure that BART officers won't be swearing at people to get off the train? That's common sense. That could happen now, right? And that's something the other committee can do. And if you come back and you present this, and you say, well, nothing else has happened, then everybody's going to be like, well, okay, this is the mechanism by which we have to come to BART to get, like, a modicum of respect. That's not going to set up a situation where you're going to have a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, and I've been taking notes, and these questions of who does the chief work for and all those, I mean, those are, you're right, those are questions that, you know, hopefully we'll get to today. I just wanted to really focus in on the responsibilities of this committee, okay. Vis-a-vis both discipline and policy. So, can we go to the straw poll and sort of recap where I think we're at? And I want to take the issues of policy and discipline separately. I'm just going to sort of frame what I think are all the alternatives that I've heard, and what I'd like you to do is give me a little feedback in terms of, is that everything everybody's interested in, or all the alternatives, and then we'll go to that. But, so we talked about treating policy and discipline in two slightly different ways. Well, actually two fairly different ways. So on the matter of policy, we have said that sort of these questions of what to investigate, that the civilian advisory board, let's just call it the civilian board for now, the civilian board will take all of those recommendations from police, from public, from unions, etc., in terms of what to investigate. They'll work with the auditor to develop the work plan, but ultimately it'll be their work. And that when matters of policy, when the recommendations of policy come from the civilian review board, they will review, amend, and ultimately adopt those policy recommendations. So that's sort of what I heard. Is there anybody who isn't with that or needs more clarification about that on policy? Is that what we decided today?
You need to speak in real layman's terms.
Okay. All right. So policy recommendations, you know, people can nominate, members of the public, other people can nominate the policy recommendations. The civilian review board will take all those, you know, things of, here's something I want to investigate, I want to look at, you know, taser policy, I want to look at, you know, use force policy, etc. So they'll collect all of those areas for investigation in terms of independent policy or proactive. This is where the proactive side.
It's really like a
policy recommendation.
Is it an investigation?
Right. And then they'll work with, but they'll be the ultimately, they'll decide what they want to make policy recommendations on.
Like,
right?
There's a complaint on a policy or something?
No, this is second suggestions or recommendations. And this is not about individual incidents of misconduct. This is about areas of policy.
Yeah. Suggestion. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the next steps are, but I'm assuming there's going to be another meeting of this committee.
Yeah.
I would suggest that those three positions, whatever you speak about, be written down.
Okay.
And codify so we can look at it and see exactly what it says. It's difficult for me.
Well, there isn't three on policy. There's only one on policy.
Okay. Yeah. But it's difficult for me to have you give an explanation of where we are and then make a vote on it. That's the first point. Second point is that I'm still a little uncomfortable that Reverend Buford's not here and Mr. Keith is not here. Yep. And I wish we could have this discussion, this vote, with them present, so that we have a full board to do that.
Okay.
Otherwise, say we come up with a 4-3 vote, what does that mean? Right. I mean, when you got two people that aren't here.
Exactly.
And so, you know, maybe we need to just write it down.
I think that on issues like this, that everybody who stepped up to the plate ought to have a say and be on the record.
Okay.
And so we ought not go from memory. Mm-hmm. We ought to have it written in it before us, agree on what's before us, and then vote on it. Okay. So I'm going to, seeing how I suggested it, I want to back off the straw poll now. Until we get this written in front of us, let's meet sometime this week or as soon as we can and make some decision on this stuff that we can go forth and say, this is what we think is best after hearing from the public.
Can you just put something in writing?
Yeah, can I forward something to the full committee?
Okay.
And then you can send me back any comments you have, I think, and get something that we can have in front of us at the next meeting in the next couple of days.
We'll work with you. So one idea, I think that we resolved kind of where we were with policy, and I didn't explain it at all well. So what we'll do is we'll get the one recommendation in terms of
I think
we landed on policy.
Explained it well, but it may flex debate. Somebody may have something else in their head and they have different
things. And then I think we landed on about three different recommendations.
Right.
And when we write them down, we might realize there's more
some of the things that you're
in terms of discipline.
Vote on and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Direct conflict in our negotiations and meet and confer. So I don't really feel comfortable voting on something.
Why don't we write up the three variations? Members of the public can look at them. Y'all can look at them, and then we can discuss them. And then if you're uncomfortable with the straw poll at the next meeting, that's fine. But at least we'll have it all written down.
I need to make this comment with the public here, and I'm going to tell you, my interest in this whole thing is that you come away with some sort of a civilian oversight mechanism that works for part. And there are many types out there. I've heard comments from the public. And see, quite frankly, I don't care if people out there agree with me or not. We're talking about auditor-monitor style, and I'm giving you my best shot on that. Now, if what this board wants to do is listen to the community and come up with a police review board, and I asked at the start of this meeting, you want to vote on whether or not you want to go along this path, or you want to go back and start again? And so I guess the thing I would like to see is let's be on one page in terms of what we want.
Yes. Yeah.
And if we want
that's
the auditor-monitor, let's move with it. If you want to back off and say police review board, you know, hey, I got no problem with that. Here's how you can set that up to make it work. And then you do what you want to do.
Exactly.
And good luck.
I think one of the options in terms of discipline would be a police review board. My option C is that, and we can spell out what that would look like, and we will vote on it or not vote on it at our next meeting, but we'll at least have a definite proposal.
Yeah.
So with that, are we done with this item? We have discussed, I think we made some progress, I think, in areas of policy and discipline.
Okay.
Those were big issues.
The next time we meet, we need to meet at 10 o'clock, because we can't make it and do this thing in 45 minutes and saying we met for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think we ought to make a commitment to be here on time and get the job done and start right at 10.
How about 5 p.m.?
Okay. So next steps. One of them is scheduling our next meeting. So,
okay.
Wednesday.
This Wednesday.
Oh, I'm done for the week.
Okay.
I have no more time for Bart this week, but I don't have a problem with meeting if we're going to do it next Monday at 5 o'clock.
I think I should get consensus with everyone. That's how you have a conflict.
Yes.
It's because you have to, when you say we're going to have a meeting next week that's not on people's agenda, then you have to really confirm with each and every member if you're going to be successful.
Yeah, the trouble I've had is just, you know, sort of finding out Thursday afternoon. Oh, by
yeah,
the way,
you can't.
You know,
well,
we've been doing Mondays. I mean, Mondays at 10 o'clock has been pretty much the state.
So whatever it is, we just need to.
I think if we meet regularly at 10 o'clock on Mondays, I understand the 5 o'clock issue, but I think it's better that we get ourselves together before we get a whole group of folks in, and then we're moving like the weather vane. We need to figure out what we really want to do.
Okay.
Do you understand? If we really ought to do that, and we would stand by it. If the community disagrees with us, be able to take it and say, I changed my mind, I'm going with the community, or not. But we ought not, every time we meet, that we get another direction.
Yeah. Well, let me just put this out that, you know, I mean, this subcommittee's been tasked with developing a recommendation, and this is not the end of the public process, that there'll be public meetings on this. So we will, you know, if we can finish our task, which is bring one or more recommendations to the public in terms of a fully fleshed out, you know, internally coherent alternative, then that's what this committee is supposed to do. So let's keep meeting, and we'll do that. It's not the end of the public process. Certainly, and we can have evening meetings about this, but does Monday at 10, are people okay with that? Okay, well, let's meet next Monday at 10. We'll have the alternatives to you in advance of the meeting.
Can I just put the asterisk Monday at 10 and let us confirm with the members of the committee
absolutely.
Who are not here that I can make Monday at 10 and if they can't.
Well, does that work for everyone here? And I agree, having Reverend Buford and Reverend Muhammad here is great. So let's aim for Monday at 10 and then we'll just confirm. Perfect. And then there was the issue raised of next steps, including more public meetings about this. And I think we're going to have to discuss that at our next meeting. So that was item four. Public comments. Is there anybody, general discussion, wants to comment before we adjourn today?
Can you guys do teleconferences? Where is it? The meeting part? In between guys?
I try. Not in this room, and then there's a question of members of the public. But I mean, it doesn't actually work in this room, so we need to find another venue for members of the public. So the answer is.
I was talking about you as a committee.
Yeah.
When you're working in between times, where it's convenient, you have to drive back and forth.
I think what we'll do is just basically in writing, we're going to pass drafts back and forth and hopefully make them available to the public. So we will get work done in the next week, although we'll probably meet. Any other members of the public wish to speak? All right. Well, thank you all for coming and adjourn this meeting.
All right. Stay in there.